I was digging around in my office this morning for, as I was preparing to bring the message, for a little volume by F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer, a great commentator of years past, a great biographer of our Bible characters. If I want to look at a biography of one of our Bible characters, I will go to F.B. Meyer. And the Christ life for the self life. He's speaking of this volume of trading the self life for the Christ life and putting ourselves on the altar and offering ourselves up to the Lord in His worship. But a great little volume that he has written there to challenge us. Well, I want to look in Genesis today at a passage that's very important for our understanding. Genesis chapter 22. And I want to continue to encourage you with your Bible reading to try to stay caught up as you're following one of these formats. You may be following the 100-day reading guide. These are still in the back. And with this reading guide, I'm following the Old Testament portion on this side with our Sunday morning series. And that's been very enjoyable. I've enjoyed studying it. Also, there's the Read Through the Bible program. I'd encourage you to grab one of these. You say, oh, we're already to the end of February. Well, then start at the end of February, carry it through the end of the year, and you'll have read most of your Bible. But Genesis 22, we're looking at a passage here that is so rich in application to us and to our lives as believers. And isn't it true when our Lord calls us to serve Him that the Lord calls us to sacrifice? The songs that we sang this morning speaking of our sacrifice and our willingness to surrender ourselves up to Him. Brother Gary was finishing his Sunday school series this morning in Sunday school and was touching on Christ, and as they would ply Him with questions at this particular passage, Christ would speak back to them, and they were discussing Abraham, and they say, we have Abraham to our father, and Jesus would speak back to them about, well, then you would believe the things that I say. And Jesus had very much to say about Abraham at that time. Gary, it struck me that at the end of that one verse, he said, if you had believed Abraham, you wouldn't do the things that you do. Because he said Abraham wouldn't have done the things that you do. And I thought that interesting to be reminded of that. But here in Genesis 22, titled the message today, is Abraham's crowning test in life. Abraham's crowning test in life. You know, life is filled with tests, aren't they? When you go to high school and they're testing you, when you go to college and they're testing you, and then you get married and you've got a job and you're being tested about different matters. Your boss calls you in and tests you on something. You come home from work and you're ready to relax, and your wife asks you a question. What is she doing? She's testing you too. How was that meal the other night? Oh, just we men, we know the answer to that. Of course, I could say honestly, it was delicious. And the dinner last night was very good, very, very good. We enjoyed that so much. When I come away from those, I'm like, why don't we do these more often? We ought to do these once a week. But I know it's a lot of work, a lot of preparation. But they did a great job of doing that, cooking for that, and all the decorations were very nice. I told the group last night that came in, and before everyone came in, my son ran up to him and he said, Dad, this is great. Our table is decorated. It's the Batman table because of the colors, black and yellow. And the ladies didn't even realize that they were decorating the Batman table. But let's look at this passage closely today. I want to draw some truths out here for us. I want to see in this passage, too, the fellowship that was being had between Abraham and his son Isaac. Now, to do that, we have to, the last time we spoke, Isaac had not come yet, had he? Isaac had not been born. And what had happened since we spoke last? A promise had been given. Abraham was told, no, you're going to have a son, You need to continue to wait. And after that event, Abraham listened to his wife Sarah, and she said, well, now go into my handmaid, which was a custom in that time, and have a child by her. And because of that, Abraham doing that, what happened from that event? Ishmael was born. Ishmael was born. Genesis 17, we see the circumcision given as a sign of the covenant. Just to give you a synopsis of what's happened since we dealt with the last passage, God prescribed that circumcision would be the sign of the covenant between Him and the Israelites. And Abraham was obedient in that. Chapter 18 shows us the arrival of some special visitors. Now, these were actually angelic visitors who again came to promise, you're going to have a son. And we know at that time that Sarah did what behind the tent door? She laughed. In herself, she laughed. How shall I, being at the age I am, near 90, have a child? And the thing is you don't laugh when angels are telling you things, because angels have very good ears. And they heard that she laughed in her heart. And the promise was affirmed again. And at the end of that passage, they are on their way to Sodom to destroy it. And Abraham intercedes for this place. And begins by saying, if I can find 50 righteous, will you spare it? And God said, they said, we will spare it. And he kept, his confidence kept eroding of to find 50. Then it was 45. Again, the list went down and down until he said, what if I find 10 righteous in Sodom? Will you spare it? And God in His mercy said, yes, I will spare it. Folks, there weren't 10 righteous people there. And God brought His judgment on them. And then in Genesis 19, we see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see Lot escaping as the angels pulled him and his wife and his daughters out of that wicked city, pulled them out. And then in Genesis 21, we come to finally the birth of Isaac. The birth of Isaac after 25 years of waiting. Abraham had been promised this at the age of 75, and here he was 100 years old as the son of promise came. Now, I don't have much hope of living to be 100 years old, but I know I don't have much hope of becoming a father again at the age of 100. And here is this man at 100 receiving the promise. Do you know what God is doing? You know what God is showing Abraham and Sarah? I've promised the son. I have to be careful of Mike's horn today. I've promised the son, and it's going to be virtually impossible for it to happen in and of yourselves. But it's going to happen because I design that it will happen. You know, folks, so many things that happen in our lives are by God's design, and they wouldn't happen, but He were behind it and the author of it, and He dictating what He wishes in our lives. So it really is in line with our passage today, because God brings a great test upon Abraham at this time in his life. Now, Isaac was a young man, a young boy by this time. He was a lad, perhaps entering his teen years. I get the picture of a young man about 8 or 9, maybe 10, maybe 12. One author, which I was a little disappointed that he would say this, but he said he believed that Isaac by this time was in his 30s. I think he's taking that from the opening of the next chapter, as it speaks of Sarah passing away at the age of 127 years old. I think that was quite a leap, but I think what is being stated here is Isaac was a young boy, a young lad of his father. And one thing I want us to see as we look at the passage today is the fellowship between Isaac and his father. It's really actually very sweet to see the closeness of them and the tightness of their relationship. Now, remember, think of this man, Abraham. He's well over 100 years old, and here he has a little boy following him. Now, it's neat to see when you're out in society, you see grandparents with their little grandchildren, isn't it? And little grand guys are following the grandparents. And you see that big hand, calloused hand, down there holding a little child. The little child is holding on to grandpa. or to grandma? Well, folks, here was a very elderly man, a man growing well advanced in years. Yet here he is walking with his son Isaac. Don't you know that Abraham cherished that little boy? That little boy was the light of his eyes. When he woke in the morning, I think one of the first things he wanted to do, where's I want to see my son, have my son brought to me. You know, as we get up in the morning, isn't that one of the things we look forward to, is making our way toward our children's room and seeing them? Because of all the things that we possess, one thing, the last thing we want taken away from us is a child. It's been rightly said that the only thing that you will be able to keep in life is your children. Everything else can be taken away from you, but you will have your children. You know, years ago, I was on a job site during a break from college. It was back in 1991. We were building an athletic house. My dad's company was building an athletic house for a football field for a high school way out in the country, way outside of Anderson. There was a contractor at that time who was really, he was in charge of something like the HVAC in this athletic house, a block cinder house, and where the teams could come in and change and then go out in the field and all that. And at that time, this one contractor working under my dad was way behind schedule on the HVAC stuff. And I can remember this one day we were out on the job site and my dad had to get with this guy and say, "Hey, you need to get on the ball here." And there they were both out in the parking lot around the machinery and all the block. And that you could tell it was an animated conversation. They were getting into it. And I was going to go out there and stand with my dad. I was in my early 20s and I was going to go out there and stand with him like, "Hey, you better watch what you say to my dad." But my older brother at the time, Brian, he was on the job site and he was ramrodding the block lane. And I was going out the door, the frame had the block around it. My brother reached out his arm like this and blocked the door. And I was going out and was like, "Whoa, I got to stop here." And he said, wait a minute. "Let's see what the old man does." That's I remember his words to me. "Let's see how the old man handles this guy." Now, I didn't go around calling my dad old man. But Brian was curious how my dad would respond to this confrontation. My dad, that time, was in his early 50s. And so I stood back and I said, "Okay." I didn't know what my brother was up to. And this guy was just yelling at my dad, just giving it to him, really out of a defense kind of a mode. And my dad didn't get upset. My dad calmly told him, "Well, now you're behind schedule. You need to get caught up because this job needs to move forward. We need to get finished on schedule." And the guy settled down. The guy finally calmed down. And I'm glad since that time my brother stopped me from going out to even add some more fire to that confrontation, because it gave my dad an opportunity to show he was growing in the Lord and he had a little more patience to deal with it this time with his subcontractor. And he didn't have a shout fest with him. It was a test. Well, folks, God brings tests in our lives, doesn't He? Like that. Not an academic test, not a written test, but a test that shows where we are in our Christian walk and how we deal with others. And I'm not always happy how I come out on those tests. I know you aren't. But I say that to show that we're going to look at a man in Scripture today who faced the supreme test, the greatest test ever in his life. And God wanted to bring something out of him through that test. Draw something out of Abraham's life. It's going to be the crowning point, really, of his entire life. Well, let's look at the passage, Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we read this. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" Now let's just stop our reading there just for a moment. Do we have to go back and read that again? Here is the son of promise, a young boy, the person through whom God is going to bless Israel, bless this nation that He promised to Abraham. And we come to the passage today and God is saying, Abraham, go sacrifice your son. No, we've read correctly. And God, by saying that, lays down the greatest test on this man, Abraham, that he will ever face in his long, long life. Father, as we look into this passage today, open it to our hearts, the applications that we need. Bless as we study this, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we come to the passage and we see this command from God coming to Abraham. And I want us to quickly see in this passage several things. And let me just enumerate them for you so you recognize them as I get into them. I want us to see these four things. I want us to see the test. Secondly, I want us to see the trek of Abraham. Thirdly, I want us to see the testament from Abraham. And thirdly, I want to see the termination of this test. The test, the trek, the testament, and the termination. You say, well, those sound like very simple points. Yes, but there's a lot packed into those terms. That's what we're going to see in this passage, as God tests His servant. Now, the upshot of all this, what we're going to see from this, is one of the greatest types in our Old Testament. One of the great, Mike was speaking of it. Mike can let the cat out of the bag if I'm not careful. He'll tell you what I'm going to get into, but Mike said it. We're going to see a type of Christ being lifted up. Christ being offered in this act that God calls upon Abraham to carry out. Well, let's come again to our passage this morning, begin to read. Verse 3 we read, so Abraham rose early in the morning after hearing this command. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Having journeyed that far, finally the mountains that God had directed him to come into view, come into focus, and he knows the time is near at hand. Now, let's come back before we get into these points. What is God asking of Abraham? Why is God placing this test on his life? Now, hadn't Abraham already sacrificed many things? Think about it. Let your mind float back over earlier events in his life. What are some things that Abraham had sacrificed? He'd given up his home. He'd left his country. He'd left Ur. He'd left all the people he knew in Ur of the Chaldees. Oh, something else he gave up in life. He journeyed on from Haran. He came down to the Promised Land. He had to give something up with Ishmael, didn't he? He thought, well, God will help God out with the promise here a little bit. And he had a son by his wife's handmaid, Ishmael. And as Ishmael grew older, God directed him, you drive out. And when the child was mocking the child of promise, Isaac, and Sarah saw this, Sarah wanted them driven away. Hagar, the mother, and Ishmael. And God said, you go ahead and you follow what Sarah has directed because I'm going to bless through your son Isaac. And you go ahead and drive Ishmael out. But as God did that, God had mercy on Ishmael and Hagar and provided for them. And also promised a great nation would come of Ishmael, even as he was an outcast. What was something else that Abraham had to give up? If we think about it. You remember the time where he and his nephew Lot were in the land and he said, hey, the strife between our herdsmen is too great. Let's go different directions. And Lot did what? Lot looked in one direction, saw how beautiful and fertile it was. He said, well, I'm going to choose this. And Abraham gave that area up to go another area. Now, God was gracious and blessed Abraham in spite of taking a less prosperous land, less fertile land. But his life had been about sacrifice. It had been about giving things up. It had been about leaving, putting his everything that was familiar to him at the age of 75 and leaving it all behind. And sometimes I think when God asks us to give up things, we think, give this up. In and of itself, it's small enough, and I have to give it up. You know, God doesn't ask much of us, does He? He just asks all. I like that saying. He doesn't ask much. He just asks for it all. Well, here's what the test was about. God is going to use His test on Abraham's life to sacrifice His son, the son of promise, in order to draw something out of Abraham's life, out of his heart, that Abraham would never have known about unless he'd been willing to sacrifice Isaac. Now folks, let that thought sink into your mind. If Abraham had not been asked to sacrifice Isaac, there were some qualities in his heart that God had put there that Abraham would never have known, never had realized the depths that God could take him and sustain him. Before I get into these points I have here, my outline is not important in and of itself. The passage is what my focus is. How many Christians live their life and they're saved, they know God, they're trusting in God for salvation, Christ is their Savior, and yet they're not willing to sacrifice things in their life to God and yield it up to God and say, God, this is yours. All my possessions are yours. My children are yours. Everything I have is yours. But such a person doesn't know the riches of giving that up to God. If you can follow my thoughts there. Folks, it's only when we've sacrificed something that we truly get it back. Yes. It's only when we give something up that oftentimes we receive it back. We're going to see that in this passage. As Abraham offers up his son in sacrifice, and in the end, God gives it back. God gives his son back. There's some important passages in our New Testament I'll try to look at here as we go through this today. But let's begin looking at this test and breaking down this test and what God was doing in Abraham's life. First of all, I want to look at the test. What about this test God brought upon his life? First of all, we see God brings Abraham to a great sacrifice in order to test his faith. Verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. You might have a translation that says God tempted Abraham. The context there of that word tempted is tested, not the negative sense in which we take the term tempted. And he said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. Now go to this land and sacrifice your son, your only son. So God lets this test fall. Now isn't it true to life that things will be going well for us? At this time in Abraham's life, he had the son of promise. The boy was growing up before him. He was a young lad and he had great wealth and he had security all about him. His wife with him. And just at that time, when he least expected it, the test fell. One writer said it fell like a bolt of lightning. Not expecting it. You know, God doesn't send us a heads up in the mail. Hey, in a week, I'm going to bring a test in your life. I'm going to take something from you. So you got a week, get ready. Or you got a month, get ready for it. That's not how God works. Maybe the government does. Our God doesn't. Because our God is seeking to have the test have an impact on us. And that test will have a greater impact on us if we don't know what's coming. Hey, we're marching along in life. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Financially, things are set. And then someone we love very dearly dies unexpectedly. Lord, how do I make sense of this? Everything was great. How many times have we heard that from people? Everything was fine in my life. And then this tragedy happened. If we could stop for a moment and realize much of what we call tragedy, we could see as a test from God. God seeking to get a hold of our hearts. Folks, I think one of the reasons God sends tests in our life is because we're headed along a direction that's not good. Or it's not going to be good for us spiritually. God sends a test to arrest us from going that direction. Think about that. Here's Abraham. If he was 100 years old when Isaac was born, maybe we're talking he's 110 years old. And, at that stage of life, I'm sure you don't want big upsets. And God says to him, Abraham, you've walked with me. You've been my friend. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. What is that, Lord? I want you to take Isaac out into the wilderness and I want you to offer him up as a burnt sacrifice. Lord, could you say that again? I didn't quite catch. I want you to offer up Isaac as a burnt sacrifice. I think Abraham apprehended it the first time. So God tests him. God steps forward to test his servant's faith. Why? To raise it to a higher level of expectation. And folks, I want to say this. Only God knows what's lacking in your faith and in my faith. You might think of a fellow Christian and say, well, I know what their need is. Oh, yeah. But folks, God knows exactly what their need is and what my need is in my faith. What in my faith needs to be corrected. What in my faith and your faith needs to be stretched and drawn out. And only through a test can God accomplish this. Now, we know that as God tests us, we've got someone else in the background who doesn't test us. But James chapter 1 tempts us. James chapter 1 tells us God doesn't tempt us to sin. He never will do that. But God certainly applies His test. I want us to see something else as God lays this test on Abraham. I want us to see Isaac's worth. What was Isaac's worth to Abraham? Look at verse 2. Take now your son, your only son Isaac. What's the next phrase tell us? Whom you love. God knew what was most precious to Abraham. God knew the one thing that Abraham could not bear to live without was his son. This son that he had waited for so longly. And here God is saying, I want you to take him out in the wilderness and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Well, God, explain why. I'm not going to explain why. I'm just telling you to carry out. Have I directed you wrong up to this time? No. Am I directing you wrong now? No. Abraham follows obediently. But that is not to say or suggest for a moment that he had a capricious attitude toward Isaac. He loved this boy. He loved this child. You know, it's funny, we can respond differently to different stress and angst in life. But when it touches our children, there's not much we won't do. There's not much that we won't rise to when our children are in danger. We'll move heaven and earth to help them. But again, it reminds us that God doesn't ask much of us. He simply asks for all. And when He asked for Isaac to be offered up, He asked for what? He asked for everything. He asked for everything. Well, secondly, let's look. After this test, we see the trek. After the test came the trek. And Abraham answers God's supreme test with unswerving obedience. Abraham answers this test by not saying, well, I've got to get with Sarah and we got to sit down and we got to discuss this, God, because you've asked many things of me alive, and I left Ur of the Chaldees and I left my family and I moved down here and I let Lot take the best land and I sent Ishmael away. But this is too much. Is that what Abraham did? Abraham responds to the test with obedience, and we see it in this track, verses 3 through 6. Let's read those verses. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. He arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. The two of them went together. And we see in this trek and this journey, do you not know that this was excruciating to this man for 3 days as he journeyed toward the mountain that God said, I want you to offer up Isaac there as a sacrifice to me. And with each step that he took, he was closer to that moment when he would have to offer up his beloved son. Each step brought him closer and closer and closer. But we see in the passage, Abraham did not delay for a moment. He rose early in the morning. He answered God's command. He makes an immediate start. He brings with him the wood. He doesn't even risk, well, I might get there and there might not be wood. He brings his own wood for burning at the altar. He brings the fire. What else does he bring? He brings a sacrifice. He brings a sacrifice himself. How many times as I read that, as I soaked in that truth there, how often when God asks us to do a little thing, a small thing, what do we often greet Him with? Oh, excuses. Folks, when God directs us in our heart from the Scripture, from what we know should be the thing that we should do, we shouldn't come to Him with excuses. We should say, Lord, I'm ready. Here am I. Like Abraham in verse 1, when God called him, he said, here I am. Here I am. I'm ready. But we offer our excuses. God doesn't force us. God doesn't force us to do those things that He'd have us to do. It's like my pastor used to say out west that God doesn't make us do His will, but He makes us willing to do His will. He makes us willing to go. And Abraham was willing. And during this journey, during this trek, certain things were happening. Hebrews 11:17-19 tells us that Abraham believed that God would raise his son from the dead again to fulfill all his promises concerning Isaac. As he looked ahead and visualized offering up his son and bringing the knife down and sacrificing his son, in his heart he was saying, but God promised. And if I have to sacrifice this, when I sacrifice the son, God will raise him up from the dead. Now there's some faith. There is some faith. In preparing to yield up his son, we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, Abraham hoped against hope. As he grew older, and that's speaking of his waiting for the birth of the son, I believe, but he hoped against hope that God would fulfill his promises. And yet what I want us to see in that is when he did not delay for a moment, he went on the journey, he had faith that God was going to work through what he had commanded. Abraham didn't see the command to offer up his son and say, oh, gloom and doom, this is the end. God has made a mistake. He looked past it and he said, if God has to raise Isaac from the dead again, God will do that. And so he was able to journey on. What a test that God laid on his servant. But folks, during the trek, during this journey, God was drawing things, I believe, out of Abraham's heart. I believe it was during this journey, the news had just been given to him. And it was during these 3 days of traveling, of getting to Mount Moriah, which interestingly, Mount Moriah is where the Temple Mount is. Stop and think about the implications of that. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem, a stone's distance from Mount Calvary. And as he journeyed these 3 days, all these things were moving in his heart. Don't think that Abraham was a stoical figure, said, well, I got to offer up Isaac. I wonder what else God's going to ask of me. In his heart, he's going, pulling back and forth, yet each step, he's getting closer and closer. He's being obedient. And in his heart, what he had come to, what he had wrestled to the ground was, if God expects me to do this, then God's got a plan beyond this. And when my son is dead, God has to raise him from the dead. That's the only way possible that He can bring about these promises. Folks, what about you and I? We look at the commands of God, the things that God would have us to do. Do we often come to it and say, well, God just doesn't care about me? God might move in your life with a test. God might test you by calling one of your children to go to a far mission field. You've got to yield that child up, or grandchild. And there they go. They're gone. You're not going to see them, but once every 4 years, as they're faithful, or some other realm of service, are we ready to yield up? Well, thirdly, we move on here. But in that trek, we see the solicitude, the love between this father and son, because that brings us to our next point, which is the testimony. Here, Abraham guides his beloved son through the sorrow of the approaching sacrifice. Abraham, as a father, guides his son through what is getting ready to happen. Now, Abraham knows God's commanded me to sacrifice my son. I don't think the young men that were with him knew that, his servants. I don't think Isaac knew it as yet. But during this journey, aren't little children curious? When you're doing something as a parent, they're asking, well, why are you doing that? What are you doing? What are you cooking there, Mommy? What are you making, Daddy? Curious. It's part of their nature. And this little boy was no different. He was curious as to what was happening. And he knew by experience when his father offered a sacrifice, he brought an animal and made sacrifice. Well, this little boy's looking around. He doesn't see any sacrificial animal at hand. What's Daddy doing? Well, we go on here to see Abraham guiding his son. Look at verses 7 through 10. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. And I love that. We get that sense of that fellowship between Abraham and his son Isaac. My father? And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb for a burnt offering? There's no lamb. There's no sheep. We've made this long journey. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Now, folks, take your pen and circle that verse, because that's the key here with this test. Because when God brought this test bearing down upon Abraham, God knew the response He would have from His servant. You know, when God tests you and me, when God brings a test upon our lives, God knows beforehand what kind of response you and I are going to have to it. God knows how you and I are going to react to the stimulus of a test. And we might say, by backing up from that, so God knows how much to test us. And it makes my mind go back to someone I knew when I was growing up that was a friend of my parents. And this man had a wife that was had a brother who died from a disease, muscular dystrophy. And I grew up as a young boy watching this man in this wheelchair being on the side of the pews on Sundays. Then he passed away. The disease was in his wife. She had muscular dystrophy, and she eventually would die. The man had three sons. Two of the sons had muscular dystrophy. And this man over the years watched his sons go into wheelchairs until they died. He had one son that survived in his family. And Keith Scott knew about God's tests. And he came through those tests with a bright testimony. Well, folks, here's the test God has laid down on Abraham. And we see the journey that he makes. No delay, immediate obedience, unquestioning obedience. And how good it would be if we could come to the test that God brings on our life and say, I'm not going to question you, God, while you're asking me to do this. I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. But we see in verses 7 through 10, Abraham having a testimony to his son, and explaining to his son what God was doing. My son, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And don't you know, in Abraham's heart, he's wanting to tell his son, you're the burnt offering. You're the one who's going to die. And this is the hand that has to carry out the deed. I wish you were not so. But it's the test that God calls upon me. And I'm going to obey. Ah, can we imagine this man's heart as he carries this out? And yet he doesn't lose the opportunity to be a testimony to his son. Don't you know he measures every word? These were the last conversations he's going to have with Isaac. Verse 9, then came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son. And finally, at last, Isaac understood, I'm the sacrifice. I didn't realize it. As some writers had said, he was old enough to resist his father if he had wished. But Abraham had such an impact on his son and his walk with God and his testimony with his son that Isaac put his hands up and said, tie them good, Dad. Tie them good. Tie them tight so I won't struggle. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But God shall provide the lamb. God shall provide the lamb. Abraham was trusting implicitly in God's provision in his life. Say, Pastor, you seem to be getting excited about this passage. Well, folks, what a picture. What a picture of the Father one day in the perfection of time would send His Son into this sin-cursed world that He might bring many sons and daughters out with Him and redeem them. And that Son would be lifted up. And when the cry went out, there would be no answer. Christ would die for us. And Abraham's confidence was that God would raise His sacrifice. And he communicated all of this that he could to his son. And his son got the message. All right, Dad, God's called this test upon your life. If I'm to be the sacrifice, let's get on with it. Let's do this. But finally, I want us to see the termination of the test. The termination of the test. Here we see God forestalls the bidden sacrifice and commends Abraham's sacrifice of faith. The supreme sacrifice. We see this in verse 11 through 15. But the angel of the Lord, just as Abraham lifted up that knife, and there was his son on the altar, and Abraham would bring the knife down and plunge it into his son, a voice from heaven comes. Voice from heaven comes, and let's read verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! So he said, here I am. Here I am. What a frozen moment in time, wasn't it? As he prepared to sacrifice his precious son and the angel of the Lord. And if you'll stop and think about it, who is the angel of the Lord? By extension, we can look at this and realize this may be very much the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the Christ, the Son of God, crying out, Abraham, Abraham, wait! He said, here I am. Hey, if you've got something else to tell me about this direction, I am all ears. I'm ready to hear. Can you imagine Isaac on that altar as his father lifted up that father they loved? What a test that God brought upon this man. But here was the termination of the test. God was satisfied with the impact of this test on Abraham. Look at the response that is given. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Do we not see something from this in this passage as God responds? What is he saying? I laid this test on your life, believer, and the way you came through it, by my grace, I'm satisfied. I'm pleased. I've gotten glory from the test that I put you through. The trial that you went through, the valley that you went through, the hardships that you went through, I got glory to myself, and you found out some things about your life as a believer that you didn't know were there. that you didn't know that were laid deep within you that my grace could summon forth, that only a test could draw out. And God graciously provided Himself a sacrifice. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. I like the image here. I heard years ago of a pastor or a speaker sharing this passage, and he said, as Abraham was going up one side of the mount, Mount Moriah, to offer his son as a sacrifice, and that test was upon him, God was sending a ram to get caught in a thicket up the other side. And folks, when God tests us, God has everything laid out. And when He's trying you and touching something that's very precious in your life or in my life, and He asks us to give it up and surrender it to, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. 100%. 110%. It's yours. God's got a plan for accepting that sacrifice. God had a plan here. And God was giving us, down through the ages, a perfect picture of what one day would He would be called upon to do because of His love for mankind, His love for the lost, His love for man in His failure, that He would send His Son, and yet there would be no halting of the sacrifice. The sacrifice would be carried through. What a picture. One writer said, this is a mirror image of God offering up His Son. And there was no one to stay His hand. Verse 14, as we close, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So folks, we see in this a test, a trek. And in my emotion, I've forgotten the third one, but at test, the trek, testimony. Thank you so much. I have those brain freezes at times. And then the termination of the test. There's a beginning to the test in our lives. There's an end to the test. And folks, what happens in the middle for us is the important part. What are we doing along the journey through the test? And what kind of testimony are we having to others as we go through that test? To our children, to our young people, to our fellow believers. How rich this study repays us as we look at this and this sacrifice that Abraham was asked to make. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being offered up. But Isaac was spared, but Jesus Christ went all the way for you and I. Folks, as we close today, what is God asking you? How's God testing you? How's God testing you in your life right now? What is He asking of you? Maybe there's a spirit in your heart that says, I'm only willing to go so far. And the world is filled with believers who are willing to go so far. And then, God, you better not ask anything more of me because I'm not going to give it. Okay, I only want to go so far. Some believers, I'm afraid to say, are interested in fire insurance. And they signed the fire insurance policy with their salvation. They don't want to go any further. Oh, how they've cheated themselves out of untold blessings. Untold blessings. Look, I'll be a Christian as long as it's easy. I'll be a Christian as long as nothing is asked of me. I'll walk with God as long as God doesn't ask something personally of me, some sacrifice. Oh, I'm really gravitating toward these health and wealth churches. I love the message. I go out of there, I'm encouraged. They never say anything tough. For me to do in my Christian life. Folks, that is not reality. Amen. According to the Word of God. Becoming a child of God means sacrificing for His work, for His cause, for my walk and your walk with Him. Is your all on the altar? That's going to be our closing song today. I appreciate the songs we sang earlier. I speak of sacrifice. But as we close, can I ask you, as you stand today with me, with heads bowed, before we sing, how are you doing with the tests that God brings in your life? Because I say this, with the tests God brings in your life and my life, God is seeking to draw us deeper into this thing called a Christian walk. Not less, but more. And as He calls us to sacrifice certain things in our life, certain conveniences, faithfulness to His house. When others are sitting at the house reading the newspaper, God calls us to come forth and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to fellowship and strengthen one another by this. When God asks us to give to His work, when God asks us to give to missionaries, to keep them working and supplied on the field, we have to be ready to answer those calls for sacrifice. What did Jesus say? They that are not willing to turn their back on family and loved ones is not worthy to follow me, not worthy to take up his cross. Christian life is about surrender. It's about sacrifice. Are you like Abraham today, willing to say, Lord, here I am. I'm ready. I'm ready to sacrifice. I know it's not going to be easy. I know I have to give up that thing that is most precious to me. But folks, I say this to you as we close today. When you give it up, God often brings it back to you. He's wanting to see how you and I will come through the test. If you're here today too as well and you don't know the Lord, you're a stranger to what has been said today, the claims of Christ on your heart, I bid you today, come. Enter into this thing called the Christian life. Put your all on the altar and say, I want this Savior to be my Savior. Not other people's Savior. I want it to be mine. So I encourage you today. An appeal to